Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Luka centers the break. He's got Finney Smith.
The call last night, Fox Sports Southwest even had a Luka dunk thrown in. Luka making more history as the Mavericks destroy Golden State. I was wondering yesterday, if you had tickets to this game, right? Before the season, you're trying to get two tickets at the AAC. You're trying to get Lakers tickets or you're trying to get Warriors tickets. And then I was like, think of the disappointment.
Clips too, maybe.
Maybe the Clips. Not as flashy, right. But I think the Clippers are still winning the championship. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, man, what a letdown. This is devastating. And I wonder how much Luka saved that for anyone that had tickets last night, that you're still going to see Luka Doncic. Whereas in the past, you're only going to the AAC for that game, for Steph, for Klay, for Durant. That's it. Now you're going for Draymond. You're going for the Warriors show. And now you have freaking Luka Doncic there to maybe save everyone missing on the other side. Fantex, if you had that same feeling. Roy was in the building at the AAC. Do you think there is more energy, Roy? Do you think, was it packed still in there or some missing seats?
I was surprised at the crowd. I was surprised at the size of the crowd. And I thought that to myself. I was like,
that it was packed.
Yeah, I thought it was more, a lot more packed than I thought it would be. A lot more raucous than I thought it would be. Now, that cleared out, you know, midway through the third quarter because everybody decided this thing was in the bag. But for a 6:30 start, I was really impressed by the showing from Mavs fans, and I think that's only going to continue. Like, again, the Warriors, the no-name Warriors, not the Golden State Warriors of Steph and all them, the no-name Warriors, and no one cares because what are we all there to see? In fact, I asked a fan about that who like, hollered me over. He was like, hey, Roy, I'm a big Toa man. And I asked him about it. I was like,
nice way of dropping him right there. Yep. That you're famous and
yeah,
getting
that's right.
recognized.
And he said,
you see Ellen walking at you.
That's right, man. Famous people. And he says to me, he was like, I had to be here to see Luka. It's my first game this season. I had to come see him for myself. Another fan texted in when we were talking about this earlier on saying that was the first time I had tuned into Luka this season. And wow. Like, people...
First time.
We kind of forget that there are still people discovering, and the ratings show that not everybody's totally invested in the Mavericks 14 games into the season. Understandable. But our point is, if you invest your time in a single Mavericks game against whoever it is, you might see something historic. You might see something that'll take your breath away, and that is all thanks to Luka Doncic.
No one before last night had ever recorded a 35-point triple-double in 25 minutes or less. He had 35, 10, and 11. And he did it in 25 minutes? Are you kidding me? He outscored, rebounded, and assisted the entire Warriors team. That hasn't been done since Iverson in 03. And it's becoming impossible for me to keep track of all the achievements and all the accolades. He had 33 in the first half, second most by a Maverick in any half in their team history. Dirk had 34 in 2009. Lost in all of it, Tim Hardaway had 15 in the first half. And Porzingis, who's totally in the shadow, four straight double-doubles for the first time in his career. Doesn't matter because the guy is this amazing right now. And it's an all-time sports gift that we're getting to see the birth of. But we do have an article out from Tim McMahon, and RJ is taking it as a positive. And I want to see what you think of it.
The Pat Doney approach today, because I'm going to see him after this.
Sources around the league and even some within the Mavs organization have questioned whether the Luka-Rick Carlisle dynamic, two brilliant basketball minds with a four-decade age gap, can develop into a successful long-term partnership. Former Mavs director of player development, Mike Procopio, said a great player needs a leash. I don't think it was a toxic thing by any stretch in Luka's rookie season. It was just a young player wanting more and a coach who wasn't used to doing that with a young guy. For the development of a great player this young, the best thing they can do is make mistakes and grow from them. You can't freak out over every mistake. Rick understands that. Rick is intelligent, Carlisle knows this kid is the future of that organization. He can't get in the way of that, close quote. And then they took us to Boston last year. I said this year earlier in the show. It was November 24th, 2018. The first time Luka had faced the Celtics. He had a few spectacular minutes to open the game. He hit a three. He had three dimes, each one prettier than the last. And he had gotten a little greedy then, tried to thread the needle to get the ball to a teammate on a backdoor cut. Turnover. Celtics hit a transition three. Carlisle calls an angry timeout, stomps towards Luka with arms raised and yelling at him about being careless. Doncic had barked back at Carlisle without breaking stride while walking to the bench. It was a moment that had illustrated the occasionally tense dynamic between a championship-caliber coach with a reputation for being controlling and a phenom who had arrived in the NBA as the most accomplished teenage prospect ever. And Mark Cuban said, Luka just came from a winning championship background and expected to win. There wasn't so much barking at Rick as it was frustration that we were losing. He had never lost before, and no one's happy unless you're on the upswing like we are right now. So you have a lot of Mavs fans who go at Carlisle, and they're like, get rid of Carlisle. Carlisle's, you know, hasn't done anything since the championship year. If it came down to Luka and Carlisle and you had the slightest hint of worry that Carlisle was going to tick him off or have him think about leaving, then you kick Rick out the door. But there is a lot of adjusting in this piece, Choppy, where Carlisle and his relationships with Rondo and Dennis Smith blew up. And Cuban said, quote, well, when we had people here who didn't think they needed to learn anything, that's when we would run into conflicts. Luka is a sponge on the court and off. And Carlisle in this piece recognizes Doncic as a basketball genius. He tells him stories about Larry Bird because he thinks that's the type of company he can keep. He said, quote, guys like Luka, Bird, Jason Kidd, Magic, sometimes they get bored. They want to get into a creative state and do some things to kind of break up the monotony. The important thing to remember is there's a time and a place for everything, and the thing is not to compromise your opportunity to win. And I think that's number one for Luka, to actually win, and that Carlisle lets him call some plays.
Yeah, that's huge to me. I think the flow of sports is better when the guys in the field are calling the plays, be it the quarterback or the point guard or the primary ball handler, if you don't want to go with the strict point guard rule. You weren't here for Avery, right?
No.
Dude, there was nothing more annoying than, because you know what happens in the middle of an NBA game? It gets quiet in the arena an awful lot, right? It's just NBA arena is just kind of dead half the time. And hearing Avery scream to the other side of the floor, the play call, was maddening. And Jason Kidd couldn't stand it. Could not stand it. Here's Jason Kidd, fresh off leading literally the worst basketball team in professional sports history to back-to-back NBA finals with the Nets, coming here on a trade, and all of a sudden being barked at by Avery Johnson over what play to run.
And in this piece from Tim McMahon, he writes, opposing scouts and coaches widely consider Carlisle to be among the game's elite offensive play callers, but Rick insists he would never prefer to call plays. Look, when we won the championship, we didn't call anything. Now, that's because he trusted Jason Kidd in his 16th NBA season. And Luka occasionally glares at Carlisle if a play call from the bench doesn't work or he doesn't agree with another coach's decision, like a substitution. But there's also times when Luka looks to the sideline wanting a call from Rick. Scouts consider Doncic a predictable play caller at this point. He has two go-tos, both of which are staples around the NBA. The Mavs push set that is commonly known as pistols action, giving Luka the choice of a dribble handoff or pick and roll on the wing and a high pick and roll. In other words, he's calling his own number to create. And then when they dig deeper into the playbook, that's Carlisle. So that's the balance, the back and forth, where the film sessions last year could be brutal. And someone within the meeting rooms would say that Luka got killed, like extra killed, by Carlisle drilling him for mistakes in front of other teammates, Luka would just listen, take the criticism, but there were times when he seemed uncomfortable, like a student getting scolded by a teacher in front of the class. So that's where we are. It's a really good piece. The evolving relationship with Rick Carlisle and Luka Doncic. And I think, you know, Carlisle gets it. He says, I understand that he's an artist, and I think he's backed off in year two, but you got to set the tone in year one. I mean, Bill Belichick is still setting the tone with Tom Brady, which annoys Tom even after six championships.
Autoflex Leasing fan text 877-881-1053 weighing in on both sides of the coin. From the 214, I think it's a good thing. Luka established himself as a leader early on. I want my superstar player to be able to disagree and bark back at the championship-winning head coach.
Let me say something on that real quick. I was surprised because Luka looks so innocent. He's just smiling, laughing. I was a little surprised to read in this that Doncic had that dog in him to bark as a rookie. I thought it was this year in Boston, right? When they already played the Celtics, when Kemba lit him up. But no, like he snapped back at Carlisle as a rookie and will glare at the sideline sometimes. You're talking about maybe the smartest offensive mind in basketball, a guy who has zero smile and zero personality that you look at or that I've heard of, and Luka has the moxie to go at him like that.
Yeah, and then on the other side of it, from the 817, and this may be a conversation for another day, you better hold on to Carlisle because Luka will not stay if they haven't won a title by the time his rookie deal is done. I don't think that's necessarily
true. No, well, he's
going
to sign the Porzingis extension.
The next Supermax that he's eligible for.
Well, I don't know if it'll be a Supermax.
Because whatever the new CBA will be.
Right. So he'll be here for 7 years. So five more years minimum. And then, you know, then he may run off. I mean, if they haven't won, even if they have won, I mean, he may not, like, he may want to go to L.A., New York, Miami, Chicago.
The point is, in the NBA, more than any other sport, when you are accumulating the power that Luka is getting, Carlisle is not the one who's going to have to chill out. Carlisle is the one who's going to have to back off.
Bow down.
Because if Luka Doncic wants to play that card, or if Luka wants to act like the megastar that he is and is becoming, see ya.
He's about a Caesar Milan, Rick Carlisle.
Sit.
Did you just Caesar Milan?
South Park.
It's a reference that Sean and other intelligent people out there listening would appreciate.
Caesar Milan is not a South Park reference. Caesar Milan is a real person.
Choppy, just stop.
Is he?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Are y'all talking about the dog trainer?
The dog Caesar trainer.
Milan? Yeah.
Why would you say it's a South Parker? Everyone knows him from
the South Park made fun of him.
Oh.
Dip,
well, still.
Dip.
I'm letting you dig yourself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.